Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Goodman. Step back. Three.
Oh. Get it all!
What a shot by Goodman!
Well, if you were lucky enough to be inside Gill Coliseum last night, you saw a great basketball game. Not a great women's basketball game, just a great basketball game, period. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I want more. I'd love to see these teams play again in Las Vegas in the championship game of the conference tournament. Scott Ruick, the Oregon State women's basketball coach, is with us. 200 wins. Congratulations on that, coach, and congrats on a big win last night.
Thank you. That was a special night. Really appreciate you being down here. And if you weren't here, you heard that clip because that was TV. Adam went crazy on that shot. It's fun to listen to.
We had Adam on earlier, and he was saying, like, atmosphere-wise, that he would put that. He's been to Cameron. You know, he's been places where they say atmosphere is king, but he said that was a special atmosphere. For you as a coach, when you're amid that, like 9 years ago, you didn't have that crowd. You know, you look around, you appreciate it a little bit, or do you have to focus on the game?
Oh, I appreciate it more than you can imagine. When I first got here, I appreciated every single person that came in. We were counting, you know, to 1,100 and 1,200, something like that at the very beginning. And then to see it grow like it has, we've been grateful, obviously, all these years. But no, last night, you know, the second ever sellout, those are pinch me moments, you know, that I don't take for granted at all. I wish I could stop and enjoy it a little bit more. The introductions were unreal. You know, this is the first year we've been able to turn the lights off in Gill for introductions, upgrades. And so that it was special just to kind of stand back and look up and see just the energy, the glow sticks that they passed out, the whole thing. It's amazing, really. And so, yeah, I enjoy it. I love the noise. I love the energy. But my job's to coach. And so that's what gets my most attention, of course.
Now, for me, I'm on press row watching this game. I'm not really rooting for either team, but I'm loving that this is a great game and every possession matters. For you as a coach, how do you manage sort of the flow of the game when you're in there? There's pressure for you as well as your players.
For sure. I mean, it's our job to help our team as much as we can, right? And so I don't know necessarily if there's one great answer for that. I think it's just by feel. And I think when you've been coaching as long as I have, you know, and making those decisions for as long as I have, and of course, Coach Graves as well. I mean, you were both just in those moments being what your team needs and trying your best to help them and go off feel. And if they make an adjustment or we do or they gain momentum or we have momentum, is going to dictate what you're doing, you know, and so there were some chaotic moments in that game, and usually those worked against us last night. I didn't like those moments. I liked when we were in more control and had a more calculated possession, I should say, although that Michaela Pivot coast-to-coast layup was maybe one of the plays of the game, if not the play of the game. Is that a pivotal moment, you know, but more than that, it was just making the right call at the right time to try to put us in the best position possible.
Hey, you know, I talk to coaches a lot about their players, and they're always talking about putting their players in positions to succeed. Did you see any of your players do something last night that you had not seen before?
That's a good question. We executed a defense in the fourth quarter that we had to. The nature of this game was so unique because what we all, both teams originally planned for changed. Ruthie Hebert went down in the middle of the second quarter. We weren't sure if she was going to come back second half. And so we talked at halftime, you know, what adjustments could we make if she does not? We kind of thought if she doesn't come back, I have a feeling this team might go small and put five guards out there. well, that doesn't match up with our centers too well, and that's a clear advantage in this game at certain moments anyway for us. And so how can we survive? Can we survive small or big? And so having Big Joe, 6'8 Joe Grimmick, guard, you know, maybe their smallest player, one of the guards in the fourth quarter, was something that I hadn't seen before. In addition to that, I thought Destiny Slocum played her best overall game last night. She got off to a little bit of a slow start, but then really settled in and competed just tactically very well on both ends of the floor, and then obviously hit, you know, two just huge shots that created the separation down the stretch of this game for us. You could talk about Aaliyah too, but those were probably the two biggest things. Joe guarding a guard and Destiny just elevating her game on both ends of the floor to a new level, which was really special.
Scott Ruick is with us, Oregon State women's basketball head coach. You mentioned Destiny, and a lot of us had heard of her and knew she was a great player, but you take the players who are probably the best player on their individual high school team, and you make them come in and you make them buy into your system and playing with each other. You know, is that an easy task? And I'm not talking about Destiny specifically, but I have to imagine you've got 10 women on that team that were all the best player on their team.
Yeah, that's what you hope to do anyway, right? And so I think we do that without a doubt. That's what allows a team to be a team. Everyone on our team was their best high school player. And so that is the challenge. That's why some coaches don't like a deep bench. I've never carried 15, and that's part of the reason is at this level, you're going to get people that have been the best player on their team and expect to play, and it's really hard not to. It's a tough thing. And so through the recruiting process, I do my best to recruit people that have a selfless, relational perspective to go along with an elite skill set. So that, you know, I don't want them to ever be satisfied sitting, but if that is their current role, to be able to understand it. And to be honest, even for a family that we're recruiting, what are her parents going to be telling her? Are they going to be supportive of a role if it is, you know, the sixth player or the eighth player, you know, or somebody that's playing 40 minutes? And so that's, you know, maybe one of the keys to what we do, especially in our sport where it's 10 to 12 to 13 or 14 people, I guess, 10 to 14 people that all have to buy in to the common goal instead of each of their individual ones for the good of the team. It's hard.
You get that game last night, but down the stretch, it was like you had the lead. They went small. You went small. The game tightened up. Is there a moment in there where you're resisting the urge to say, call timeout, scrap this, let's do something else? Or you're kind of trusting what you're doing yourself. I'm watching you and I'm going, he's staying with this. And in the end, it works out. But, you know, Scott Ruick, much younger. Does Scott Ruick, much younger as a coach, make different moves down the stretch?
Good question. I hope not. I don't know. That's a great question, actually. I'm not sure what I would have done. I think I was a little apprehensive to go with Joe. I felt like we needed to be small because we feared what they can do from the perimeter. Obviously, they're an elite shooting team overall. And you're really rolling the dice if you're going to let people shoot.
Yeah.
Last possession of the third quarter, we went zone. I put Joe in, and we went zone. And, of course, Erin Boley hits a three like she does, like it's a lay-in. And then, obviously, that didn't work. they just looked too comfortable at the moment. I didn't feel like we were scoring well enough to maintain that. And so then we went to, you know, just a different defense, which was man principles. It was tough. The toughest part of the game for me was down the stretch of the third quarter as they were gaining momentum and our small lineup was not as effective defensively as I'd hoped, you know. And so I rode it maybe a little longer. I thought about taking a timeout. I chose not to, and so then it did tighten up. They gained momentum, but fortunately we were able to get it back through the fourth quarter.
Did you learn something on Friday night that you used on Monday night?
We started Joe. That's the first time she started, yeah. I think maybe this year, maybe not. maybe the first couple of games she started. I can't remember. But Joe's been in such a great rhythm coming off the bench. And I think the people that have really focused on our team and watched this has, I mean, yeah, we are all amazed by her progress and so happy for her that she's competing at a completely different level. The game has just slowed down for her so much that she's effective in really any situation now, which was not the case earlier. And so bringing her off the bench had given her comfort. It had taken some pressure off, allowed, you know, Maddie to be out there. Just wasn't a great matchup for us Friday night. Ruthie was so comfortable inside scoring on Maddie. She's just bigger than she is. Maddie does a great job with position, was just not quite long enough to impact Ruthie. But our bigs, I felt, were able to. So that was one of the biggest things. You know, trying to give Sabrina a different look here or there. You know, I think you have to try to do that, even though it's really hard because usually she makes you pay for every mistake you make. She sees your adjustment before you even make it, it seems sometimes. And so then the other big adjustment was just cleaning up our mistakes. And, you know, this team, our hurdle this year has been sustained defensive intensity. We've had great moments, but then we will relax. And maybe it's because we've scored pretty easy. Maybe it's because nobody's had to be that Gabby Hansen or that Marie Gulich that just set the tone for us defensively. You know, and we've been searching for that person. And so collectively, the loss at Oregon Friday night, film of that showing, man, we made four defensive transition mistakes that we can fix. We made four offensive rebounds mistakes or boxed out mistakes that led to threes for them. We could fix that to a level. I think those were the biggest adjustments. We're just cleaning up our game and taking our game to another level, which is great going forward.
I've got a friend who is a lawmaker in the state who's big on in-state kids getting opportunities at Oregon and Oregon State. And I know you can't recruit 12 kids from the state of Oregon. You'd get beat. But you had a pretty good one on the court last night in Aaliyah Goodman. I thought that was a really nice moment for people who know that, hey, that's a kid that went to high school in this state who is doing great things. I thought she was the best player on the court for most of that game.
I was so happy for her. Happy, obviously, I should say, very happy for both of our Oregonians, Katie McWilliams,
yeah.
You know, getting her sixth Civil War win in her 4 years. And then Aaliyah, you know, playing on a huge stage. And what most people probably wouldn't know is Aaliyah played for the same AAU program that Sabrina played for, not with her, but the year after her, she joined that club. And so has kind of had Sabrina at one point was, and maybe in some ways still is, somewhat of a mentor to her, you know, and same coach, same system. And so had a lot of success with them. But in a way, you know, you look at who's on the other end and you're like, man, that's the person that did all this stuff before me. And, you know, she's worn USA across her chest. And am I good enough to compete on the same court with her? You know, and I thought the other night, you know, I saw a little doubt in Aaliyah that I didn't like. Let's remove all those things like that don't matter. Yes, you can have these relationships and you can have whatever history it is, but tonight this is a game between you and them. And you need to find a way to win it, and you can't let anything get in the way of that that's going to cloud your perspective or take you out of your game. That doesn't even really matter. And so there was a maturity, I thought, with our team in the way we approached this game, almost to the point where we weren't going to be denied. That's how last night's game felt to me. I mean, from Mix 11-11, you know, her double-double to – I don't know, just how big Destiny played and Katie played. And then obviously Aaliyah was the one that in some ways demonstrated it the most. She was there to win last night. She made plays defensively, made huge offensive plays, hit huge shots, you know, and then made one of the biggest plays of the game at the end, just disrupting and forcing a turnover. And so I'm super proud of her. And of course, if you've got great players, of course, you would love to keep them home if that's what they're looking for.
Scott Ruick with us, Oregon State women's basketball coach. I'm really excited. I'd love to see you guys play again tomorrow night. I think we could do it. I don't know if you and Kelly would be up for the stress of that. But, you know, do you think you make each other better? Because I heard that said a couple times last night, and I left kind of going, you know, Oregon State's got to, you have to be on your game or Oregon's going to get you. And they have you guys as a bar for the success you've had over the years as something to chase. I think you've been there all along for them.
Oh, there's no question. Competition makes you better. And so, they've put together a great team. They're well coached. You know, they've got a great environment down there as well. And so it was a good atmosphere Friday night, and it was a good atmosphere here. That's what this is all about. It's like, let's push each other and let's see how great we can become. Connecticut's been doing it forever, you know, trying to make us all raise the bar. And so you look at that. I want to be like that. I want to be where they've been. Everybody would say that. And so what does it take to get there? You know, and then Tara set the standard on the West Coast at Stanford for all these years. And how can we get to her level? You know, and then we got there and we cut the net that she had cut 14 straight years. And then we got to do that 3 times in a row. And then last year, Oregon did it. You know, it's looking like they're going to get this one this year. And so there is great competition in that, and the bar keeps raising. I'm fine with that. I love it. It's making me better. Getting to coach against a player as great as Sabrina, I love every minute of it. I mean, there's nothing like getting to try to get your team to that level where you're playing against an elite player like her. Let's find a way to beat them. And that's where it's just education, it's teaching, it's growth. It's what this is really all about, helping this team. And that experience last night for the people on this roster, it's a life-changing experience. It's a moment they'll never forget. And I feel like that's ultimately what this is all about, to create that moment, you know. And so I tweeted out this picture of, you know, the team jumping on each other at the end with all these crazy expressions on their face, you know, where you're so excited that you just lose control almost and you look silly almost if you still shot it. Those are the moments to live for. And so how many of those can we create, you know? And so the greater the competition, the better for everyone, and I love it.
Scott Ruick, congratulations on 200 wins. Congrats on beating the number two team in the country last night, and I will see you in Las Vegas.
Look forward to it, John. Thanks again for your time.
You bet. There's Oregon State's basketball coach, women's basketball coach Scott Ruick. What a great, great moment last night with Oregon and Oregon State. More thoughts next. Thanks to all the guests on today's show. We started this radio program with a ESPN 2 broadcaster who had the call on last night's Oregon State-Oregon basketball game. Great stuff last night.
Slocum for three. Got it!
And it was interesting to hear Adam Amin talk about whether or not he would pick Oregon or Oregon State in a potential rubber match of the Civil War. I am really rooting for that. Look, first of all, I want to see both these teams do well, and I want both of these teams to roll through the Pac-12 conference tournament and get Oregon and Oregon State into the championship game on Sunday, the 10th of March at the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, with the whole country watching for that. Really, they're both going to the tournament, but it would be potentially for one of these teams being seated above the other, seating purposes, when you come to a matchup like that. So I don't care if you're an Oregon fan or an Oregon State fan. These two teams make each other better to the point that that was a quality win that was at stake last night. And there's so much trouble in the Pac-12 on the men's side of the bracket. Right now, nobody on the men's side of the bracket can get a quality win because you're playing in conference play and you're playing against a bunch of teams who have bad ratings, bad records. All you can do is have a bad loss right now in the Pac-12 in the men's side. On the women's side, everybody gunning for Oregon, Oregon State, and Stanford, because they know that beating one of those three teams can get you or help get you into the NCAA tournament. And last night, you had the number two team in the country playing on the road at number 12, and number 12 got them. And it was a great moment for the state of Oregon, obviously a good moment for Oregon State, and I hope Ruthie Hebert is going to be okay. We don't have an update yet on that. We will, though, follow that story. All right, we're back tomorrow with a great radio show. Please give this podcast, if you're listening via podcast, a rating. Tell people what you think about it. It helps other people find this podcast when you do that. And subscribe to the podcast. If you're just listening on the radio right now, make sure you just take the iPhone out, click on that purple icon, the podcast icon, search for The Bald-Faced Truth, and give it a subscribe, and we love you for it. We're back tomorrow with another great radio show. Not here for a long time, just a good time. Leave it right here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from The Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of The Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to The Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.